VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, Dan Friedel reports on American basketball star Brittany Griner's release from Russian prison. Later, Faith Perlow presents this week's Everyday Grammar lesson. We close with the next part of our U.S. history series. But first, here is Dan Friedel.
The American basketball star and Olympic champion Brittany Griner is being released from prison. She had been held in Russia for almost 10 months. The administration of U.S. President Joe Biden said Thursday that Griner was on an airplane back to the U.S. She was arrested in February. Russian officials said they found two small containers of marijuana oil in her bags as she arrived at the airport in Moscow. She pleaded guilty to the charge in July and then faced trial. Griner said she mistakenly packed the objects in a rush to get to the airport. In August, she was sentenced to a prison term of 9 years. After months of negotiations between Russian and American officials, Griner was released in a prisoner swap. Russian weapons seller Viktor Boot is being sent home. Boot was serving a sentence of 25 years. American officials said they had been hoping to also gain the release of businessman Paul Whelan. He was charged with spying in December 2018 and given a 16-year sentence in 2020. In announcing the release of Griner, Biden spoke about Whelan. He said, "We've not forgotten about Paul Whelan. We will keep negotiating in good faith for Paul's release." Whelan's brother David said the U.S. made the right choice to bring Griner home instead of waiting for a trade that wasn't going to happen. Officials said the prisoner exchange happened in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. Griner was arrested on February 17th, but the news did not come out until March. Russia invaded Ukraine in late February. Griner traveled to Russia to play basketball for her team, UMMC Ekaterinburg. The fact that Griner, one of the top players in the American Basketball League for Women, the WNBA, had to play games in Russia had many people asking why the league does not pay its players more. She is also married to a woman, which made many pay attention to how Russia treats lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, and queer people. Lawyers said the 9-year prison term was too much for the offense of bringing a small amount of marijuana oil into Russia. At her sentencing, Griner said she was sorry, and she hoped the ruling does not end my life. The negotiations related to Griner, however, led to the highest-level communication between Russia and the U.S. in over 5 months. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov spoke about Griner's case. I'm Dan Friedel.
Like to work out? What do you do to warm up for exercise? Do you enjoy walking, dancing, or running? In today's Everyday Grammar, we will look at how we can express ways we exercise. You will learn about common phrasal verbs to describe our actions and gerunds, four kinds of exercises. Let's begin with phrasal verbs. Phrasal verbs have a verb and either a preposition or an adverb called a particle. A particle is a short word. Phrasal verbs can be made up of one particle or two. A phrasal verb has a meaning different from that of the verb alone. Phrasal verbs can often be separated from the particle by a noun or pronoun. Some of the most common exercise phrases in English are phrasal verbs. Let's take a look at some of them. Work out is a transitive verb, meaning to do physical exercise to make your body strong or healthy. A transitive verb can take a direct object. She works out her legs every day at the gym. Warm up means to prepare for exercise by doing light exercise to increase your heart rate and warm your body. Emily warms up by walking on the treadmill. Cool down is the opposite of warm up. After intense exercise, you need to cool down your body to let your heart rate decrease naturally. I like to cool down by stretching my muscles. Work off means to get rid of stress, emotions, energy, or even food by doing physical activity. I need to work off that apple pie I had at Thanksgiving. Let's go to the gym. I had such a stressful day at work. I can't wait to work that off at dance class tonight. Try out for means you compete for a spot on a team. Tatiana tried out for the football team in August. She will play her first game this weekend. Pass out means you feel sick and fall down or faint. If I don't drink enough water before I do an intense workout, I always feel like I'm going to pass out. She passed out near the end of the finish line because she was dehydrated. Give up means that you stop doing what you are doing and do not continue. He had to give up playing basketball last year after he hurt his knee. Gerunds are formed from verbs, but they work like a noun in a sentence. We use the ending ing to create the gerund. Gerunds express actions or states of being. There are several gerunds that we use to express kinds of exercise. For example, walking is a gerund. We take the base form of the verb and add ing. Walk plus ending ing equals walking. Walking is one of the best activities for your health. Other common gerunds for working out include jogging is like running, but with an easier pace. Tyler enjoys jogging on the weekends. Running is faster, and there may be more purpose behind it, like planning for a race. Running a marathon is very hard work. Lifting refers to a form of strength exercise where one lifts heavy weights with their muscles. Taylor started lifting weights last year. Dancing is moving the body to music. She loves dancing because it's creative and gets her heart rate up. Training involves doing exercise in preparation for an event or goal. Joe not only does strength training, but she also trains in dance. Spinning is indoor bicycling. They're spinning at this gym. Let's combine the phrasal verbs and gerunds to create sentences for describing exercise activities. For example, you could say, I warm up by dancing. Here, I use the preposition by to tell the means of how I warm up. You could also say, dancing warms me up. Here, the phrasal verb is split up by the personal pronoun me. Today, we looked at common expressions for exercise. We can use phrasal verbs like work out and cool down to describe our actions. We use a base verb plus a preposition to create a phrasal verb, which can be divided by either a noun or pronoun. Another verb-like structure we examined are gerunds. Gerunds work like nouns in sentences, but are formed by placing the ing ending on verbs. Since gerunds describe actions, they are perfect for describing exercises that we do to stay happy and healthy. Let's end this report with some homework. Are there any other phrasal verbs or gerunds that you use to describe exercise? Use phrasal verbs or gerunds to describe how you exercise. Try to combine both to create a sentence. Share your results in the comments. I'm Faith Perlow.
Just heard Faith Perlow present this week's Everyday Grammar Report. Faith is here now to talk a bit more about the lesson. Hi, Faith. Thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Ashley. Thanks for having me back.
You talk about gerunds in your report. Gerunds use the ing ending, which is similar to verbs in the continuous or progressive tense. Could you explain for our listeners what the differences are, though?
Of course. Both gerunds and the progressive or continuous tense use the present participle form of the verb, the ing ending. Gerunds are formed from verbs, so they are actually called verbals, but they function as a noun in sentences. An example we used this week was dancing, like in the sentence, I love dancing.
What about the present progressive?
We use the helping verb to be and put the base form of the verb into the progressive aspect using the ing ending. An example with the verb dance is, they are dancing in the show. This shows an ongoing action in the present.
Well, thanks for answering my questions today, Faith.
Thanks for having me again, Ashley.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. In October of 1859, a group of anti-slavery extremists attacked the town of Harper's Ferry. Harper's Ferry was part of Virginia then. Today, it is located in West Virginia. The attackers were led by John Brown. They seized a gun factory and a federal supply center where military equipment was kept. They planned to use the guns and equipment to organize a rebel army of slaves. Harry Monroe and Kay Gallant tell us what happened to John Brown after he seized Harper's Ferry.
The President of the United States in 1859 was James Buchanan. When Buchanan learned of the attack, he wanted immediate action. He sent a force of Marines to Harper's Ferry under the command of Army Colonel Robert E. Lee. John Brown had attacked with about 20 men. Several, including two of his sons, had been killed by local militia. He and his remaining men withdrew to a small brick building. The attack had failed. Not one slave had come to Harper's Ferry to help Brown. The few whom his men had freed had refused to fight when the shooting started. Brown could not understand the fear that kept the slaves from fighting for their freedom.
Brown and his men were trapped inside the brick building. They held a few hostages, whom they hoped to exchange for their freedom. Colonel Lee wrote a message to John Brown, demanding his surrender. He did not think Brown would surrender peaceably, so he planned to attack as soon as Brown rejected the message. He felt this was the surest way to save the lives of the hostages. As expected, Brown refused to surrender. He said he and his men had the right to go free. As soon as Brown spoke, the signal was given. The Marines attacked. They broke open a small hole in the door of the brick building. One by one, the Marines moved through the hole. They fought hand to hand against the men inside. After a brief fight, they won. John Brown's rebellion was crushed.
A few hours after Brown was captured, the governor of Virginia and three congressmen arrived in Harper's Ferry. They wanted to question Brown. Brown had been wounded in the final attack. He was weak from the loss of blood, but he welcomed the chance to explain his actions. The officials first asked where Brown got the money to organize his raid. Brown said he raised most of it himself. He refused to give the names of any of his supporters. Then the officials asked why Brown had come to Harper's Ferry. "We came to free the slaves," Brown said, "and only that." He continued, "I think that you are guilty of a great wrong against God and humanity. I believe anyone would be perfectly right to interfere with you so far as to free those you wickedly hold in slavery. I think I did right. You had better, all you people of the South, prepare yourselves for a settlement sooner than you are prepared for it. You may get rid of me very easily. I am nearly gone now. But this question is still to be settled, this Negro question, I mean. That is not yet ended."
The raid on Harper's Ferry increased the bitterness of the national dispute over slavery. Members of the Democratic Party called the raid a plot by the Republican Party. Republican leaders denied the charge. They said the raid was the work of one man, one madman, John Brown. Still, they said, he had acted for good reason, to end slavery in America. Southern newspapers condemned Brown. Some said his raid was an act of war. Some demanded that he be executed as a thief and murderer. Many Southerners said all of the North was responsible for the raid. They believed all Northerners wanted a slave rebellion in the South. And it was such a rebellion that Southerners feared more than anything else. New measures were approved throughout the South to prevent this. Military law was declared in some areas. Slave owners threatened to beat or hang any Negro who even looked rebellious.
The fear of a slave rebellion united the people of the South. For years, rich slave owners had talked of taking the Southern states out of the Union to save their way of life. But those who had no slaves opposed the idea of disunion. John Brown's raid changed that. After his attack on Harper's Ferry, the South spoke with one voice. All Southerners declared that they would fight to protect their homes from a Negro rebellion or from another attack by men like Brown. Feelings were especially high in Virginia, the state in which the raid took place. Virginians wanted Brown punished quickly to show what would happen to anyone who tried to lead a Negro rebellion. There was some question whether Brown should be tried in a federal court or a state court. Brown's raid took place within the borders of a state, but the property he seized belonged to the federal government. The governor of Virginia decided to try Brown in a state court. He believed a federal court trial would take too long. If Brown were not brought to trial quickly, he said, people might attack the jail and kill him.
Brown was being held in Charlestown, a few kilometers from Harper's Ferry. The court there named two lawyers to defend him. A doctor examined Brown. He reported that Brown's wounds were not serious enough to prevent the trial from starting. Brown lay in a bed in the courtroom throughout the trial. John Brown's lawyers tried to show that his family had a history of madness. They tried to prove that Brown, too, was mad. They asked the court to declare him innocent because of insanity. Brown protested. He said the lawyers were just trying to save his life. He did not want such a defense. The matter of insanity was dropped.
Brown's lawyers then argued that he was not guilty of the three crimes with which he was charged. First, they said, he could not be guilty of treason against Virginia because he was not a citizen of Virginia. Second, he could not be guilty of plotting a slave rebellion because he had never incited slaves against their owners. And third, he could not be guilty of murder because he had killed only in self-defense. The trial lasted 5 days. The jury found John Brown guilty of all three charges.
The judge asked Brown if he wanted to make a statement before being sentenced. Brown did. He declared that he had not planned to start a slave rebellion. He said he only wanted to free some slaves and take them to Canada. Brown's statement was strong, but it was not true. He had, in fact, planned to organize an army of slaves to fight for their freedom. He acted in the belief that slaves throughout the South would rise up against their owners and join him. Brown's words did not move the judge. He said he could find no reason to question the jury's decision that Brown was guilty. He sentenced Brown to be hanged.
One of Brown's supporters attempted to find a way to free Brown from jail. Several plans were proposed. None were tried. Brown himself did not want to escape. He said he could do more to destroy slavery by hanging than by staying alive. John Brown was executed on December 2, 1859. His death created a wave of public emotion throughout the country. In the North, people mourned. One man wrote, "The events of the last month or two have done more to build Northern opposition to slavery than anything which has ever happened before, than all the anti-slavery pamphlets and books that have ever been written." In the South, people cheered, but their happiness at Brown's punishment was mixed with anger at those who honored him. As the nation prepared for a presidential election year, the South renewed its promise to defend slavery or leave the Union.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.